Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you honor, Jesus. We give you glory. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are moving, have been moving. We thank you for your word that you will speak to us. Thank you, God, that your word will come forth with excellence, accuracy, boldness, unhindered, unchecked, uninterrupted by any outside force. We thank you, Lord, that signs, wonders, and miracles will occur as the word comes forth, after it comes forth, for days and days and days. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts are prepared and are good ground to receive your word, and that it will bear fruit 100 and 1,000 times. Father, we thank you that as we take your word and receive it, that we'll be doers. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to continue to speak to us even after this gathering is over, bringing additional revelation, helping us to apply and live the principles and see the results that you intend. We honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just want to stir your faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I have the honor of sharing the word this morning, and we're going to talk about the kingdom principle of the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. Now, I want you to really engage and really focus on being alert and to receive this word. A lot of times when we begin to talk about the blessing, we think about things. We think about, oh, I got blessed with this car. I got blessed with this job. And then a lot. And then when we begin to talk about the blessing, sometimes folks begin to get apprehensive and think, oh, they just talking about money. They preaching about money. That is not the case. Well, it is partially the case, but it's okay to talk about money when it's in relation to a kingdom perspective. It is an attack of the enemy to keep believers from learning about money, and just because some people have taught it in a sense where it appeared to be have a materialistic type of focus, now everybody wants to throw out what they have labeled the prosperity gospel. Well, the Bible talks about prosperity. The Bible endorses prosperity, and it has to be taught from the perspective of kingdom. And so what we're going to talk about today is the kingdom principle of the blessing. By the time we're done, we're going to know what the blessing is, how to access it, and what the difference between the blessing and blessings, because there is a strict difference between the blessing and blessings. And when we talk about these things, and by the time we're done, we're going to have revelation, we're going to be able to apply these principles to our life. Say amen to that. And so today, my goal is to teach you prophetically, revelatorily, and of course, there's an apostolic grace upon my life, so I teach from that vein. So it will come out very bold, very confident, very consistent, very courageous, because we are an apostolic house. That's what we do. We are moving forward, and we cannot allow the attacks of the enemy to distract us or hinder us. One of the things that I was sensing last week as we were talking and we were singing prophetically and saying, "You can't stop me." You guys remember that? And so one of the things that I begin to sense is that the enemy knows he can't stop us, but sometimes he would try to hinder or stall or slow our progress. He would try to keep us from, for example, from going 50 miles an hour and try to slow us down to a 25 mile an hour zone. You know, on the freeway, if you drive 25 miles an hour, that is dangerous. Everybody knows that, right? And so a lot of times there is a speed or an acceleration that we have to be moving at, but the enemy would try to distract us to make us slow down to reach our destinations too late, because we have appointments with destiny. There are appointed times and appointed seasons that we should be in appointed places doing appointed things. So everybody say amen to that. And so one of the things we want to deal with is this concept of the blessing, which will help us operate in the timing of God and understand the finances of God, the prosperity of God, to accomplish and expand his kingdom. So I'm going to make a couple of statements, and I'm going to spend some significant time laying a foundation before we begin to talk about the blessing. Is that okay? I hope it's okay, because I'm going to do it anyway. Just kidding. So the kingdom, let's define the kingdom of God, because a lot of times I just want to refresh this in your memory, because in this house we talk about the kingdom. It is our mission. It is our life's message. It is the message of Heirs Covenant Church. It is the message of Heirs International Ministries. It is the message of our apostle, of every pastor, leader, teacher in this building and connected to this house. The kingdom of God is his rule both in eternity and in time. It encompasses everything that is visible and invisible. So the kingdom of God encompasses everything, visible and invisible, everything we can see and everything that is supernatural. That's from the book Cosmic Initiative by Jack R. Taylor. And we must understand that the identification of the kingdom as synonymous with the church, or the church as synonymous with the kingdom, is a misconception. It blurs the identities of both, thus lessening the probability that we will receive a full revelation of each. Remember, the kingdom of God is not synonymous with the church. The church is a part of the kingdom, but it is not the whole of the kingdom. The function of the church is to reveal, manifest, and expand the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. And so another thing we need to understand as we talk about the blessing is the kingdom perspective. Now, our apostle talks about this all the time. The kingdom perspective is a constant awareness, say awareness, of Jesus, who is the king, and his kingdom. It is an awareness of the spirit realm that is in operation. There is always a spiritual thing, spiritual activity going on around us, no matter where we are, no matter what time it is, no matter what's going on. There are always simultaneous spiritual things going on. And so we cannot ignore the fact that spiritual activity is occurring. But we must also understand that it is awareness of its operation and the authority that we have in it through Jesus Christ. So the fact that spiritual things are occurring, we must remember we have authority over those spiritual things and in spiritual realms and spiritual places. Say amen to that. And it says, it is the acknowledgement that Jesus has all power and authority, and as his ambassadors, as ambassadors of the king and his kingdom, we have been given power and authority to influence, impact, and affect the natural and spiritual realms for the advancement of his kingdom. We have been given power and authority to impact supernatural things and natural things. We have been given power and authority to shift atmosphere and to make a difference. Now, how does this refer to the blessing? Because part of the ways we make an impact in the earth is through the use of money. Everything in this earth realm, money is the currency of the natural realm. Many things that have to get done take money. Now, I believe God for favor. I trust God for favor. One of the things I believe is that, you know, the favor of God is on me. I never ask for discounts or things like that, because I believe that you should pay what something is worth. You want quality, you pay quality. But I also believe this. I heard recently someone say that they never pay full price for anything because of God's favor. And I say amen to that. I receive it. So my expectation is I'm willing to pay full price, but my expectation is that I will always receive a discount because of the favor of God. Now, that does not eliminate the need and the use for natural currency. So I'm a throw out some more statements. Now, here's a myth that people teach about money and have said about money in church that has been used to hold people bondage. The first one is money is evil. They took the scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, where it says money is the root of all evil. And so they begin to make that think that teach that money is evil. Money is not evil. Money does not have a personality. So it cannot be either good or evil. It is how it is used. Now, when that scripture says money is the root of all evil in the King James or New American Standard says a root, he's talking about it being a cause. So money can be a cause of evil because some people have made money their God and they are willing to do whatever just to get it. And I would tell you this, it's not really about the money. It's about what the money can provide or what they believe money can provide. The second myth is that finances have no place with faith. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to just believe God and God going to provide and I don't need to learn about finances or deal with finances or be a good steward over finances, which is not true. And so what I've seen is two extremes. I've seen people go to the place where they just want to spend any kind of way and trust God, or people who are so data informed that they don't allow themselves to hear Holy Spirit. Now, the kingdom perspective is to have balance. We should look at the numbers that come in. We should analyze that information, but then allow Holy Spirit to speak to us in light of that information so that we appropriately spend or manage finances the way that God will have us to manage them. You can't ignore the numbers because that's information. And that could be one of the ways that Holy Spirit is speaking because he reveals and gives information. The scripture says in John, he reveals and leads us into all truth. So we can't say, oh, that's natural information. No, that is not. Information is information, and it comes from God. Mathematical equations, English language arts, social studies, and I'm going to talk to you, I'm an educator. All of those things come from God. There is no such thing as content and truth that has not been revealed from God. All of those contents and truths reveal aspects of who he is. Who do you think is the greatest scientist there ever was? God. Who do you think even created all of these things that science tries to explore? God. Why do you think you have to learn mathematical equations and Pythagorean theorems and how to do close reading and all of that? Because it's a way of understanding what God is revealing. You guys get that? Okay. So the next myth is that poverty is a sign of humility. It's a sign of suffering with Christ. People try to say that, or some people would try to say that, you know, if you live too lavishly, then you're living in excess and you're not, you know, properly demonstrating the gospel. And you should live at a level of just enough to show that you don't want to hoard things unto yourself so you can be generous to the poor. There is an opportunity to be generous to the poor, but it does not eliminate your right to live in luxury. It is okay to live in luxury and to enjoy a high quality lifestyle that is not a sin against God. In fact, it is your right as a covenant believer. How can you say you are a part of a kingdom but don't live the quality of life that a king lives? Jesus is the King of Kings. Who are the kings that he is the king of? Us. Kings being a spiritual placement. How many kings do you know live a life beneath a royal privilege? Do you think the king in England is tripping about, oh, this house is too big? Oh, they're going to think I'm selfish because I have multiple cars to drive and I have options and I have nice clothes. You think that he's tripping on that? He's like, please, which car I'm going to drive today? And if I don't feel like driving, I'm going to get in this helicopter. It is okay to live a lifestyle of royalty. That is not an indication of selfishness. That is a lie from the pit of hell to make you think you're being selfish because you spend money on yourself. Now, we've been taught the four types of giving, so, you know, you guys know that that has its place. But I'm talking about a proper perspective about the blessing. Because some of us have not accessed it because of our perspective. And I'll make this other statement. Prosperity is not about having your needs met. God said he will meet your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, by the anointed one and his anointing. That is a basic covenant thing. Prosperity is about positioning. When you are operating in prosperity, it positions you to have a greater level of influence and to make a greater impact. Say amen to that. And I'll give you the perfect example. I was just watching a documentary on ESPN about LeBron James. Now, before we go there and start saying, well, LeBron is a heathen, we don't know. I'm not in his encounter room. I'm not in his prayer closet. I'm not in his brain. So I don't know if he's a believer or not, but I will tell you this. I have heard testimony of people in his immediate circle on his team that are believers and have been sharing the message of the kingdom with him. And I also have heard a testimony of him getting saved or giving his life to Christ in the locker room when he played for Cleveland, along with several other members of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But that stuff didn't make the press. And so we cannot assume when we see people who have a celebrity status that they are a believer or not. That is not our place to judge. Our place is to look at what they are doing. And if they are not in the kingdom, well, we pray for them anyway. And so if they're not in the kingdom, they'll come in. If they are in the kingdom, they won't miss purpose and destiny. So LeBron, with his finances and with his platform, he opened a school in Akron. And the school is called, I think it's called the I Dream or something like that. And I promise. And they just talked about it like just in the past week or so, because he just like showed it. He renovated this building and they were walking through the building and showing how it looks. And it looks phenomenal. All over the wall, words of encouragement and affirmation. And he took hundreds of his shoes that he's worn and had one pair on the walls, but the other pair were being auctioned off for funds to go back to the school. He's providing GED assistance for parents and helping them get their GED and job placement assistance. Every kid is getting like a bike and a helmet and, you know, school supplies. And of course, he does the free lunch thing. And then he added in snack, which I thought was cool. And then he said every person that graduates, their tuition will be paid to the University of Akron. You can't do that broke. And then people got mad at him because he signed a $4 million or $5 million contract to play for the Lakers. He wasn't thinking about those folks that got mad when he signed it. And then what he was doing is positioning himself to accumulate more wealth to continue doing what he was doing. Because when you watched it, he was about to cry and said his legacy is giving back and helping the children of Akron. So when I saw that, I was like, Jesus, me too. For real. Because I was like, you know, I don't always want to run a school, but I'm okay with owning one and starting one and positioning people, other people to run it. I'm okay with that. Because I'm okay with developing leaders and entrepreneurs and helping people find their purpose and destiny. But it takes money to do that. This is why we must walk in the blessing. Say, we must walk in the blessing. Because we cannot just pray. I mean, prayer is good, but prayer is not the only thing that God commands us to do to expand the kingdom. We must pray to get the strategy to hear Holy Spirit, but then we must have a corresponding action in order to bring to pass what Holy Spirit is directing. Those corresponding actions may cost some money, and we have to have money available to allocate. Now, let's dissect another scripture, Luke 16, because what we're doing is really dissecting and exposing some things that have hindered some people in the body of Christ from operating in prosperity. Luke 16, verse 11, You know, that's in the middle of where he was telling a parable, and basically about the, you know, the unrighteous servant and the righteous servant. And, you know, he made these three verses make a powerful statement that people I have seen taken out of context. In Luke 16, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you?" Now, right there, without studying that, you would think wealth is unrighteous. And you would think, well, the anointing is the true riches. Yes, it is. But when he's talking about unrighteous wealth, you know, the King James says unrighteous mammon. That Greek word is referring to finances as an idol of worship. Now, Jesus was saying if a person is unfaithful using what other people have worshiped, then how can you be faithful with the anointing? Because some people worship the anointing. And you have to be mature in how you operate in the anointing. And so he was using that analogy to say, look, there has to be a maturity and an understanding with using money, knowing that it will position you, knowing that people would do whatever. They would try to be your friend just because they want to get up under and get some of that money. And he said, if you are faithful with that, that is training for reigning with how it will be when you operate in the anointing. Because it's the same thing. Because when people see you operate in the anointing, it's almost like a fascination kind of thing that occurs. But he's not saying money itself is unrighteous. Verse 12 says, "And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" Talking about the principle of faithfulness and stewardship. You know, if you're faithful on your job and faithful with your employment, then you can expect people to be faithful to you when you start your business. How you treat other people's business is how folks will, again, treat your business when you start as an entrepreneur. You got to understand it's the principle of seed time and harvest. So I show faithfulness today while I'm working for somebody else. That means the employees that God is going to grace me with are going to show faithfulness when I'm in charge. Everybody get it? Okay, verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Notice the word says "and." We cannot serve God and wealth. It does not say It didn't say with. It is, we can serve God with wealth. Everybody got it? And so the kingdom way is to give ourselves to God, have wealth as a possession, use it as a tool. It should be used to advance the kingdom and for personal enjoyment. And I'm emphasizing personal enjoyment because in the body of Christ, there has been a teaching that almost is like you have to give your entire check, your entire income to the work of the ministry. And if not, you're not a good Christian. That is not true. That is not true. There are four types of giving. You can sow seed as much as you want. We're supposed to give our tithe as an act of obedience, which covers the operating expenses of the house we worship in. We give an alms, which is returned dollar for dollar to help those in need. And then there's the first fruit, that every time God gives increase, that difference is what is the first fruit. Now, just giving a quick example, if God gave you $500 a week as your normal pay, then you got increased up to $800 a week. That first check, the $300 difference, is your first fruit. After that, the increase is yours to receive and to enjoy. A lot of times there's been mixed up teachings with that where they talk about give your whole check. Where if I gave, and I've done it before, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I was listening to the teaching, thought I was doing the right thing, gave my whole check, and had to believe God to pay my bills. God wants us to be responsible. The scripture talks about having a good name. You can't have a good name if folks marking you late on your payments for your credit. Now, A lot of people, I've heard people teach that too in a way where it says you're supposed to give the increase over the period of time. Like every week you're giving that $300 difference. Now, one thing I did that one time before too. And then I had a conversation with Jesus. I was like, hold on. I'm like, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's have a meeting. If you just gave me this increase, but on every check I'm giving an increase to the church I was attending at the time, I'm not benefiting from the increase. So that was wrong too. That comes from, you know, unfortunately, bad teaching. So let's look at Luke 16. And then we'll get on and talk about the blessing. Luke 16. Now, in Luke 16, when Jesus told the story, notice this one wasn't a parable. It was a story about the rich man and Lazarus. There are a lot of assumptions made in that passage that the reason why the rich man went to hell was because he was rich, and that the reason why Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom was because he was poor. Because when we read that, it's easy to make that assumption, but that's not the case. Now, we'll read from starting at verse 19. Now, there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs which was falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And a rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. Now, when you read that, you would think, oh, because he was rich in the earth, now he doesn't get to experience Abraham's bosom. But that's not true. What is it saying? It's saying we can't make assumptions. When he lived joyously and in splendor, but apparently he did not live in relationship with God. When he did not live in relationship with God or allow himself at that point, because the covenant of Christ had not been made, so we're talking about living in relationship with God purely by faith, then that caused him to be disconnected. So it wasn't the wealth that caused him to be disconnected. It was the fact that he lived in a way that did not have a relationship with God. Now, Lazarus did not have the wealth, but apparently he had the relationship. Because he was carried away, his spirit and soul were carried away by angels, which is what occurs when believers in Christ move to heaven. I don't say people die, I say they move, because that's really all it is. You move to heaven because you still have your five senses that are activated and available. You still can see, smell, touch, feel. You still can think. You can still do all of that. So when you get when you move to the realm or the world called heaven, the angels, your angels that have been assigned to you, or even Jesus himself, will come and escort you. Now, that happens because you have an intimate relationship and you know him. So apparently, Lazarus knew him. And it was not the wealth, because in Genesis 13 and 3, it says a very important line for us to think about as we interpret what God is saying in this scripture. Genesis 13 and 3 says, Now Abraham, or Abram at that time, was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. So it was not the money. Say it was not the money. So if Abraham was very rich and he had a relationship with God and lived by faith to the point where the area where the righteous went before Jesus took them to heaven was called Abraham's bosom, that shows that he had a definite faith-based intimate relationship with God that was not dependent upon money, and money was not a distraction from it. But in this story that Jesus told, the rich man had the money, but it became a distraction from his relationship with God. It's okay to have money, but you must keep your relationship. Say, keep the relationship. Now, a lot of times people have bought into the misinterpretation of this, that even Kirk Franklin sung the song in the 90s, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Yes, I would rather have Jesus, but I can also have silver and gold. Because I'm entitled to it, because he shed his blood for me to have it. We good? You guys tracking with me? Okay, so let's talk about what is the blessing. Let's look at the first time it was talked about in Genesis 12. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house." That part is not the blessing. I know some folks thinking, if I get away from my cousins that's acting crazy, that's a blessing. That is not the blessing. That's not what he's talking about. It says, "to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." Say, great nation. "And I will bless you. I will make your name great. So shall you be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, the blessing is, for one, the position, going to the place where Holy Spirit show him. So we have to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. But the blessing is to be made a great nation. Nation meaning group of people. How can you be a group of people as one person? Because you are going to multiply what God is doing in your life into the lives of others. Say amen to that. And then they multiply what God is doing through them to the lives of others. That's how you become a great nation. It's the principle of multiplication, duplicating yourself through others and in others. And it says, "I will bless you. I will make your name great." It means it's okay to be famous. It's okay to be well known, because it will give you the platform where people will listen to you. I remember one time I had this job where I had to, I was a scout, and it was a brief job. I only did it for a month. I was like, this ain't working for me. So I was supposed to find models who could do print for, like, advertising, not runaway models. So I was, you know, doing that for this agency. And so I'm driving, you know, and I'm out just looking for people that fit the description. And so I roll up on this female who fit the description, and I'm like, "Hey, you know, I work for such and such, and this is what I do. I think you fit the type. You know, we have a open call tonight at 6 at the office. Here's my card." She looked at me, looked me up and down, rolled her eyes at me, looked at the car I was driving. Disclaimer, I was driving a 93 Honda Civic where somebody had hit me in the back. So there was a dent in the back of the thing. And so, I hadn't got it fixed. So I'm in this dented up Honda Civic hatchback with an EQ and sound, but my bass didn't bump like it should because something was up with my speakers. And so... So I'm like, you know, half bass, like, you know, it's not sounding totally clear. And so she looked at me, rolled her eyes, looked at me up and down, and looked at my car and said, "What can you do for me? You should be driving a Benz. If you can help change my life and do the things you're saying, you should be driving a Benz. When you get a Benz, come back and talk to me." And rolled out. I was like... But it was true. When people are unspiritual, people are going to size you up by how you look naturally, which is why I'm committed to everything I do to reflect the kingdom. My grass has to always be manicured. My house has to be decorated a certain way, because I want it to reflect the excellence of our King, so that when I tell somebody about the kingdom of God, they listen. And they're not turned off by appearance. Which is why when God blessed me to get the kind of car I really wanted, because the entire time of my car buying history, I've always bought just what I needed. Because, you know, it's, sometimes we're in that position where we just have to get just what we need. And I always would try to, I want to say sacrifice, but allow Val to drive the better car. Because to me, as you know, as a dude, that's what you're supposed to do. You shouldn't be gripping a nice car and your spouse is dripping a hoopty. That ain't right. That don't work. So when I had the opportunity to get the kind of car I wanted, Holy Spirit told me, because I had been 2 years looking at cars looking at this one particular car on the internet, building it, rebuilding it, choosing colors and all that stuff by faith. Because I knew it was coming a time where I could get the car I wanted and I could get what I chose. And that's what he told me. He said, this car is about you, is my gift to you. Pick what you want. I said, okay. He know I like the color red, because I found out that Jesus' favorite color is red. Obviously, because of the blood. I mean, So at that time, I was picking out a red Camaro. Talking about red Camaros, looking on Chevy site by faith. I'm gonna get this red Camaro for 2 years. Every day for 2 years, building it, putting different options in it online and everything else. But what he blessed me with was a red Cadillac. And I was like, hold on, this ain't the Camaro. But he said, look, let me give you exceedingly abundantly above what you asked or think. I said, okay. So I took that red Cadillac, and at that time I was driving it. I was still teaching, so people couldn't say, and I'm glad God did it that way, people couldn't say, oh, you became an administrator, now look at you with this big salary, you got this new car. No, I was teaching in the classroom. Salary hadn't changed. Well, it did change a little bit, like a 2% thing that they were doing, which I thank God for. But it wasn't like it was like super impactful where I could just go buy the car with it. But God blessed me with that car that spoke. So every day when I would drive to work, people would say, man, that car. And it was red, and because it was that like kind of burgundy color, red, almost red, it stuck out in the parking lot. And my license plate said, I might have to edit this part out the video, but it said, pursue him. So every time, I don't want folks looking at my license plate, because Val gave me that face like, why you say that? So it said, pursue him. So every time somebody saw the car, it spoke to them about pursuing the kingdom of God. And I kept it clean. You know, I mean, I hang with our apostles, so you know my car got to be clean. I mean, that don't work. His car is super shiny. My car is super dirty. So it was clean all the time. So now I had a car that spoke. That what happened was the favor of God manifested to the point, because I'm detailed with the numbers. I'm sitting in there talking to this dude. I must have something with 3 days, because it was the third day before I signed the deal. So for the first and second day, he's sitting in there with me for hours going over numbers. Here's what your payment would be. Here's blah, 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 if you put this down. And I'm like, let's work on this. So we're going back and forth to the point where everybody left and was locking the door. The dude we were talking to had to lock the door behind him because we were still sitting there. But the favor of God manifested to the point where the payment was not expensive. It was what we would think of a normal car payment would be for a higher priced vehicle. The favor manifested, so I paid less, but had something of quality that reflected the kingdom and spoke. That is why we need, you know, the blessing on our lives. So here's what the blessing is. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, that which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, he's given us the power to make, some translations say, accumulate wealth. There is an anointing or a supernatural empowerment to get wealth on every believer, because we are in covenant with God. So the blessing is the supernatural empowerment placed upon the believer by God And it's a term to use to describe the power of God that is placed upon a person for financial prosperity. Say amen to that. The blessing is a supernatural empowerment. It is very similar to the anointing. It is an empowerment that is on you that we have to access and operate in that causes financial success. Now, Deuteronomy 28:2 says, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And it says, then verse 8 says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you. Now, in between verse 2 and verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, he indicates manifestations of the blessing or blessings. So when you get a car or a raise or a house, or, you know, the company you invested in just made so much money and the stock value went up, that those are blessings. Those are manifestations of the blessing. The blessing is the empowerment. Blessings are the manifestation. Everybody say amen to that. Now, verse 8 says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you. Say command. He didn't request it. He didn't gradually place it. It's a command. Now, command is a very strong word. It indicates giving a direction without option. So it's not like there are options to this thing being on your life. It is not like it's not on your life or can't be on your life or won't be on your life. It has been commanded upon you by the King. And the scripture says when something is decreed, it is established. So in your life, the blessing is established to be on you. Say, the blessing is on me. Say it again with some confidence. Say, the blessing is on me. And because the blessing is on your life, you have a right to prosper. You have a right to be rich. You have a right to live a luxurious life. You have a right to have finances to help the poor. You have a right to have finances to start businesses that will help people in need. You have a right to have finances to eliminate poverty, to transform cities, to transform school districts, to get, you know, all these politicians, selfish people out of the way. You have a right to do that because the blessing is on your life. And when you do it, you have a right for those things to not affect your household. It is not one or the other. In the natural way of thinking, we think or a lot. I do this or this. God thinks and. You do this and this. Jesus was not broke. By heaven's standards, he was broke because the gold people wear and stuff like that, he was walking on. So by heaven's economy, it's like he took a downgrade. But by earth's economy, he was rich. Even as a baby, when the wise men came, they didn't come. It's not like how it's pictured. You know, at Christmas time, three dudes on a camel giving the baby something. Those wise men were magi and they had herds. Why would the King of Kings come in flesh and have less money than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Solomon? One of the things that God has gifted us with is the supernatural ability to get revelation and to put these things together. Sometimes we just assume because of these pictures that are in the media and these stories that go along with what's going on. But when we look at it from a kingdom perspective, it's like, wait a minute. Who has a personal accountant that doesn't have money? That's how Judas was able to steal money because he was the accountant. If you only got a couple hundred dollars, you don't need to pay somebody to manage that. When you talk about management of money, it has to be a large sum of money. So other people it takes so much time to manage it. Somebody else has to do it for you. So the blessing is the empowerment to prosper. It's a supernatural thing that is commanded upon your life. Proverbs said, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. Genesis 26, it says, Isaac sold and that same year reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He became rich, continued to grow richer, and became very wealthy. That was the same thing that happened to Abraham. Now, it shows you how it's transferable. If Abraham was very rich, then Isaac became rich, continued to grow richer, and became wealthy, meaning it is not a respecter of persons. It is a respecter of faith and application of the principle. So let's talk about how it is accessed by faith, and then I'm done. And when I say talk, I mean a brief talk, a quick talk, because I know some of y'all got to go. So the blessing is accessed by faith. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 6. Because as we begin to access the blessing that's on our life already by faith and put a constant demand upon the empowerment to prosper, we will begin to see the results. Now, we must match this with good financial stewardship. Now, me personally, I'll tell you what I personally do. I use electronic money management software, which has a calendar, and I input the dates my bills are due, and it automatically shows on the calendar to give me the visual. It automatically transfers that into the check register, so it'll show me when stuff is due. It puts like when my checks are deposited and everything like that. So I have a whole view. When I spend money, I input the receipt and I reconcile it with the bank. And that way I stay on track, because some stuff doesn't hit your bank immediately. Some places, they don't take the money out to 4 or 5 days later. It's like, what's going on? Take it already. So that's what I do in a nutshell. Now, some people are not like computer people like that, but I recommend you have some kind of system where you know every dollar that comes into your household, where it's going. Because that level of discipline will help you as you continue to get more finances. And when people say, oh, you qualify for this, when they run your credit and do the debt to income ratio thing, you have to mentally calculate a lower amount because of tithes. So if they say your income is this, that yes, it is, but because my tithes and whatever I have purpose to give, I deduct that and say we need to make this purchase based on this amount, not this amount. Because if we don't consider those factors, we can overspend when it comes time to tithes and offerings, or to put us in a tight place when we want to give because we've created some expenses that didn't account for those things. You guys see what I'm saying? Okay. So to activate this blessing by faith, let's look at this, and then we're going to go. It says, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. What did he believe? He didn't just believe in God. He didn't just believe in God's word. He believed in God's ability to manifest the blessing, to the point that after he had rescued Lot and gave the king of Sodom back all his stuff, he said, I won't take nothing from you because I don't want you to say you have made me rich. So he believed in the blessing and he placed a demand on the blessing. Romans 5:17 says, I'm going to read that to you. And this is what I use as part of my daily confession. This exact scripture. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at that in the Amplified, it says, abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life as king. So every day, this is how I access and release my faith to in the blessing. I declare daily that I reign in life as king, that I experience the quality of life that God has determined for me to live at the quality he's determined for me to live it. And so as I declare that every day, one, I'm releasing it into the atmosphere. The angels and the hosts of heaven are moving to make that come to pass. I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit to lead me as to what I should do so that that can become my reality. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy 28 and 11, in the Amplified, this is what it says. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. And then begins to name how. And so I confess that. I say, Father, I thank you that you have made me to have a surplus, which is an extra, an over an abundance of prosperity. Help me to see it. Help me to experience it. Help me to steward it. Everybody say amen to that. So it is by faith, say by faith, that we access the blessing. Where's the blessing? Where's the blessing? It is on you. The blessing of God is on you. You never have to pray and ask God to bless you. You never have to pray, ask God to bless you. You don't have to do that. He has already blessed you. Stand to your feet. God has already blessed you. All you have to do now is declare the manifestation, because you are a supernatural being. It is on you supernaturally. Declare that the blessing is working. Declare that it's manifesting in your life. And then use that practical advice I gave to steward your funds. And watch how God will move in your finances. You may start off by looking like, hey, I have to wait to pay some bills till my check hit. Then all of a sudden, how did I pay all of this with this same amount of money? Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I got another increase. Praise God. I'm going to get my first fruit. I'm going to continue to tithe. I'm going to continue to do my offering, because doing those things are activating principles. And then, boom, you'll see it gradually. It'll start to hit. Now, I would say for some of you, it won't even be gradual. As you apply the principle of the blessing that I just shared today, and you can go to the website and review what Apostle John taught about the principles of kingdom finance and apply those principles about the four areas of giving. For some of you, your change financially is going to be accelerated, because your alignment is going to be the catalyst to speed up your progress. Amen. Because some of you have been giving, some of you have been sowing, but it seemed like you haven't been seeing results. That lack of result is over. Amen. In Jesus' name. It's over. Because now you are activated and you are aware. Say, I'm aware of the supernatural empowerment to prosper. Say, I am aware of the supernatural empowerment to prosper. Signs, wonders, and miracles will happen for me financially. Say it again. Say, signs, wonders, and miracles will happen for me financially.